in conversations that we've had on this program with Governor Mike Pence, and when we were privileged a couple of times to talk to Secretary Kathleen Sebelius, the head of HHS, both sides, both of those individuals, you know, said, hey, we're trying to work out some kind of deal, some kind of accommodation so that Indiana can expand health care coverage to the uninsured. This could be that deal. It is called the Healthy Indiana Plan 2.0, HIP 2.0. You'll hear a little bit about it a little bit later from the governor in his own words, but Brian Neal, who is one of Governor Mike Pence's top assistants who has been working on this for a number of weeks and months, joins me live. Brian, welcome.
Amos, thank you for having me this afternoon.
Glad to have you.
Speaking with you.
So now, what is HIP 2.0? I know this is not a new Jay-Z record, so what is it?
Well, HIP 2.0 is the new proposal, the rebooted proposal, if you will, that we're going to be submitting to the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services probably later in June. And it's going to be posted for public comment starting today, and it's really the new vision for the Healthy Indiana Plan with the goal in mind of covering the entire coverage gap in Indiana of about 350,000 Hoosiers.
So now there's three parts to HIP 2.0. First is the basic. This, as I understand it, is a plan for Hoosiers who have below 100% of the federal poverty level, who don't make required what is called contributions in an account that kind of like covers your deductibles and stuff. What is HIP basic?
Sure. Well, kind of broadly,
okay.
The HIP 2.0 really offers three new pathways
right.
to coverage. And you mentioned one of them, which is HIP basic. There's also a HIP Plus plan, and both of those plans really leverage the existing framework of the Healthy Indiana Plan that Hoosiers have come to know and appreciate. And the third plan is a brand new plan that we're going to be outlining with CMS. It's it's essentially a way where individuals can take an HSA. Account, a power account is the way that we describe it here in the state of Indiana, to use those dollars to pay for, their share of any cost sharing associated with their employer sponsored insurance. So this is a completely new avenue outside of the consumer driven, consumer directed based Healthy Indiana plan, that we have today. And it really just offers additional options for Hoosiers, who may wish to access the plan offered by their employer, but don't have the means to afford it. That particular plan, which we're referring to as HIP Employer Benefit Link or HIP Link,
mm-hmm.
That allows them to do so. As you mentioned, though, there are two iterations of the Healthy Indiana Plan,
mm-hmm.
HIP Plus and HIP Basic, and those two plans are going to use the existing framework of the Healthy Indiana Plan. It's the way that it works is it leverages the consumer-driven model, which, as you know, involves an HSA account or HSA-like account and attached to a high-deductible health insurance plan. And so currently in the Healthy Indiana Plan, individuals receive an HSA-like account or a power account, an amount of $1,100. They make contributions on their own into that account, and the state also pitches in to fully fund that account, and that makes up the deductible for individuals in HIP. And in HIP 2.0, what we're proposing is an increase in that power account amount to about $2,500. That'll be across both plans, and it's really designed not only to align with consumer-driven plans available in Indiana's insurance market today, but to also give HIP members more flexibility, more freedom on how they choose to spend their healthcare dollars and really empower them to make more cost-conscious healthcare decisions. So the HIP Plus plan is essentially the HIP plan that everyone's familiar with right now,
right.
With the addition of vision and dental benefits. So these are two brand new benefits into the HIP family of plans, if you were. And the contribution structure for the power account would remain the same. In fact, we're actually going to kind of adjust the formula a bit to lower the amounts that individuals put in order to make sure that we maintain a level of affordability for these individuals and really give them an incentive to want to pay those power account contributions regularly. And we believe that the addition of vision and dental benefits will certainly help in that regard. The HIP Basic plan, as you mentioned at the outset, is a new plan. It's essentially a safety net plan, a fallback plan for individuals who are not able to meet that power account contribution requirement, and those individuals would not be able to receive the vision and dental benefits that are available under HIP Plus. However, they would still maintain all of the essential benefits that in Medicaid and benefits very similar to what they have currently in HIP. There would be some adjustments for the drug formulary. They would maybe need some more prior authorizations for certain drugs, and there would probably be more restrictions and use of generic drugs. There might also be some modest decreases in some service limits for some healthcare services, such as physical therapy or certain right. services of that nature. But it's really designed to ensure continuous coverage among the HIP population. But what we've really created with this bifurcation between the HIP Plus and the HIP Basic plans is a significant value proposition for Hoosiers who are eligible for the Healthy Indiana Plan, which is all Hoosiers who are between 0 and 138% of the federal poverty level.
Right.
And that equates to about $15,000, $16,000 for an individual, or about $33,000 a year for a family of four. So it really gives them an opportunity to access an incredibly good deal, and that is really the incentive that we've laid out for these individuals to want to make those regular power account contributions and not be subject to the copay structure that's in Medicaid today and will be a feature of the HIP Basic plan.
So Brian, the payments they make in these power accounts, they don't have to do a copay when they go to the doctor's office or get treatment.
That's absolutely right, Amos. Individuals who are in the HIP Plus plan who make regular power account contributions, and these are very modest amounts, mm-hmm. ranging from about $3 to $25 a month, depending upon your income. It's based on a sliding income scale targeted to about 2% of income. If you make those power account contributions, that is the entire extent of your responsibility for mm-hmm. cost sharing in HIP Plus.
Let me ask a couple of things. So now my sales tax that goes to the state, my income tax that I just paid that goes to the state, is that paying the state's cost for HIP 2.0? Where are y'all getting the money from?
Sure. Well, you'll be pleased to know that there are no tax increases related to HIP 2.0. As you may be aware, the current HIP program is fully funded by a cigarette tax that exists that started in 2008 along with the original Healthy Indiana plan. The state of Indiana will be using those cigarette tax dollars in addition to a new agreement with the hospital association to use the existing hospital assessment fee program in order to fully fund the cost of HIP 2.0, which includes the cost of the three plans, which I outlined for you,
right.
as well as a provider increase for the existing Medicaid population and those individuals which are in the age, blind, and disabled category. They would be insured access through an increase in provider reimbursement rates. One of the issues that we face within Medicaid and other states. Space within Medicaid is the access issue, and as you know, a lot of doctors would just as soon not take Medicaid patients based on the poor reimbursement rates. So under HIP 2.0, the individuals who are in the HIP Plus, HIP Basic plan, they will be able to see providers, and those providers will be reimbursed at 100% of Medicare rate. And we're also increasing the rate to the remaining population from about 60% of Medicare to about 75% of Medicare. So that was a bit of a digression, but to get back to your original question, there will be no state general fund tax dollars needed, and this new financing structure will be contingent upon the number of individuals who enroll, and the state will be protected because of the formula that we've set forth with the hospitals from any additional liabilities over and above the cigarette tax dollars and the hospital stuff.
And somebody, and Brian Neal, somebody was trying to tell me that in these proposals, a lot of times chief executives, you know, make all of you in the staff do all of the work. But I understand that Governor Pence has been engaged and involved and hands-on in a lot of this. Is that true?
He has absolutely been hands-on. He has set the course for the entire healthcare team throughout the state government and our office and the governor's office, at the Family Social Services Administration, Department of Health. He has certainly been very hands-on in our discussions with HHS on this issue. Met with Secretary Sebelius personally in Washington, D.C. earlier this year, where we outlined for her this new HIP 2.0 structure, which you know, again, bifurcates the HIP plan that we have today and introduces this new defined contribution.
Brian, I don't want to interrupt you. So when the governor met with the secretary back in February at the governor's conference, he kind of walked her through the framework of what we're now hearing today?
That's absolutely correct. And we walked through this, he walked through this framework with Secretary Sebelius, as well as Cynthia Mann, who's the head of our director of Medicaid on the federal level under Secretary Sebelius. And members of her team, and went through all the details of the details of the concept. At least that's what it was at that point, which then developed into this waiver proposal that we're submitting to HHS today.
See the things that we learned, Brian Neal. I know you're traveling with the governor. We appreciate you spending time with us today and earlier today after the presentation the governor made to a number of community leaders, politicians, and looked like everybody from every hospital in the state of Indiana over at IU Health Methodist. We got to grab the governor just for a few short minutes and get his thoughts on his proposal of HIP 2.0.
Governor, real quick, for those that are listening that are not covered by insurance right now, how will this plan help them?
What we're doing today is building on the success of the Healthy Indiana Plan in a way that for some 350,000 Hoosiers who find themselves below the federal poverty level, and even for an individual that makes up to $16,000 a year, or a family of four that makes $33,000 a year, they will now have choices. For either resources to buy insurance through their employer or be able to enroll in a plan that will provide strong coverage and give them real ownership of their health care choices.
If this covers 350,000, which is what you're saying, Hospital Association just sent out an email that says we got 800,000 total uninsured Hoosiers. What do we do with that next half million?
Well, just remember, my focus here, really attempting to focus at the point of the need. First, we want to focus on Hoosiers that lack coverage, are below the poverty level, and for all intents and purposes, couldn't afford coverage in any practical sense. That's the 350,000 that will be eligible for any one of these three choices under HIP 2.0. But we also, under the Affordable Care Act, we also will extend the new HIP program up to families up to 138% of the federal poverty level, which, as I mentioned, is an individual that makes $16,000 a year or less, or families of four that makes $33,000 or less. People beyond that, there are people beyond that income level who are uninsured. But in my judgment, we ought to focus on people that are starting out in the American dream and make sure that they have better access to affordable health care coverage, and that's the focus.
Last question. In the briefings that we had yesterday,
yep,
it indicated that both you and the current Secretary of HHS and their staffs have had good, frank, concrete discussions,
yeah,
which have gotten to the point. Have there been any discussions with the new person that's coming in? Granted, the Senate has not confirmed them. You know, what guarantee is it? New person comes in, cleans out the staff, and we got to start from scratch.
I've had no contact with the nominee,
mm-hmm,
but we've continued to work in a very good faith and productive way with not only the current secretary but all of the staff there, which obviously will remain. And we have no indication that the change leadership at Health and Human Services will impact our waiver application one way or the other.
Is it fair to say that once the Senate advises and consents on her nomination, she might be getting a letter or maybe, you know, some flowers and a congratulatory thing from you and say, hey, let's talk?
Look, I think we'll be reaching out, and we'll let the Senate do its work. But let me say very sincerely, I'm grateful that the administration in Washington, D.C. has been willing to engage in a very serious and productive dialogue with us about how we can build an alternative to traditional Medicaid in Indiana. And this is the Healthy Indiana Plan is the most innovative consumer-driven health care plan in the country. I'm grateful that they're open to us expanding the Healthy Indiana Plan as an alternative to traditional Medicaid, and I expect under new management it'll be given every consideration.
Thank you, Governor. Thank you.
That was Governor Mike Pence. On our live line now is State Representative Charlie Brown. He is the ranking minority member on the House Public Health Committee. In his years in the legislature, any issue that has dealt with health, Charlie Brown has been all over it. And he joins me live. Representative, always good to talk to you. How you doing?
Nice talking to you this afternoon, Amos. It's a bit chilly up here, and it just stopped raining. It's been raining all day here in God's country.
So, what's your take on HIP 2.0?
Well, Amos, as you know, 7 years ago, Senator Miller and I put our heads together and came up with this plan,
right,
to hopefully provide health care coverage to at least 120,000 Hoosiers. We never reached that goal, but at least those that were able to qualify for the program received the coverage that we had envisioned. Now, the governor, in his wisdom, decides that, well, we, a federal government, would like to use HIP as our baseline for, instead of using the Affordable Care Act and talking about expanding Medicaid. And I'm happy that we now are on the road to trying to provide health care coverage for those 400 or plus thousand Hoosiers that currently do not have health care coverage.
Are you surprised that just before we got you on the line, we were talking with Brian Neal, who's the governor's health point person out of his office, and he indicated that they really started to outline this new plan when the governor sat down with Secretary Sebelius back in February when he went to Washington for the governor's conference. Are you surprised that the administration actually sat down and said, let's come up with a way that maybe this thing could work, and the Obama administration gets what they want, the community gets what they want, and Pence gets what he wants?
Yeah, it is a pleasant surprise that rather than the federal government dig its heels in and say, you have got to use our plan, the ACA, rather than, of course, now they did the same thing for a couple of other states like Arkansas,
right,
and a couple others did not have some variation of the ACA. But yes, you know, we now are under a 1 year waiver to allow the governor to use a HIP, but then it eliminated many of the 40,000 that are currently enrolled because the federal government says, well, you can only have people, if we're going to give you this waiver, you can only go up to 100% of poverty, which knocked off several of the people that were currently enrolled. So now it's going to be interesting as to whether the federal government will want some additional tweaks to the proposed plan, but at least we are on the road. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the important thing. We are now taking action to provide health care coverage for Hoosiers, and that was Senator Miller's and my dream 7 years ago. In fact, it was my dream that over 15 years ago when I first introduced a single payer in Indiana that was not well received. But I personally feel that health care is a right and not a privilege, and everyone should have health care coverage.
Do we need to worry about the fact that in the governor's plan, if somebody is not able to make this power contribution, which is the old health savings account, which some companies actually have, they would get like the most minimum basic coverage that may help and may not help their health care situation?
Well, and maybe we will need to look into that later on. First, let's get down the road,
okay,
and then come back and be concerned about, can those folks that cannot afford to pay into that power account, are they still going to have adequate or health care coverage that will meet their needs?
One of the other things is the part of the funding for this is from the tobacco money.
Yeah.
The other part of the money is, I call it a tax on hospitals. You all may call it something different, something that the legislature authorized, a fee against hospitals. And, Charlie, you weren't at the briefing the governor had down here. Every hospital lobbyist, every hospital executive from the Indianapolis area, I thought I was walking into a hospital convention this morning, and they reminded me of a bunch of people that were getting ready to go to payday at the ticket house. I mean, that was the kind of attitude. What is this hospital fee, and how critical is this that they pay an increased fee, but they get better reimbursements? How critical is this to make this thing work?
The bottom line is that the hospitals, they get something out of this because it will take away that overload on the emergency room where they have to provide this care at the end. Now we're looking at people having some kind of coverage and getting into preventive care, that it lightens the burden of the hospitals, that they have these thousands of people coming through their doors and only going to the emergency room, and it's way too late for them to really do something in terms of their overall health. So I think the hospitals gladly accepted this plan to say, at least we can get folk now to start looking at preventive care. Now, that's the one piece that's missing, education.
Mm.
How do we educate those people that are currently uninsured about, don't wait till it's time to go to the emergency room. Let's start looking at preventive care and preventive measures that you will not have these catastrophic episodes.
Is that the other thing that makes this employer benefit link a good thing? Because a number of employer insurance plans, and I think more employers are going to accept those plans where the employees are saying, you got to go to a health fair on the job. You got to do healthy things, because that's how the employer has lower premiums, by insisting on that. So is that like the benefit? Because you're absolutely right. In the traditional Medicaid, there isn't that way to get the recipient, you know, in somewhere where they can get that education, or, you know, like here at the radio station, we have like Fresh Fruit Friday. And I'm sure that's a part of the whole keep my premium down, I better eat some fruit on Friday. But it also sends a message to our staff.
Absolutely. And it also is the same thing we did with the smoking program, that we put in places, smoking cessation programs, that let folk know, here is something you can do other than smoke those cigarettes. I am pleased. I congratulate and applaud the governor and his staff for at least getting us on the road to getting at least, hopefully, all 400,000 plus that are currently uninsured to get them insured.
We're going to be in a public comment period once they send this packet of their proposal officially to Washington. How important is it for people in our community to participate in that public comment process, either by attending the hearings or by just sending, their comment in through email or in the mail?
Yes. It is very, very important that they make those comments and also get educated on what this is all about. They can't make the comments until they get more educated on what all is included. But everyone has to understand and those that are currently uninsured have to understand and appreciate that this is a golden opportunity for them, and they have to take advantage of this.
State Representative Charlie Brown, it is always good to talk to you. I wish I took some pictures of all them hospital folks and lobbyists. then I could have emailed, texted it to you. It was weird.
Amos, I'd like to point out also that the governor's plans for today and tomorrow, I think, he was there in Indianapolis, and he's also going to Fort Wayne and Jeffersonville. But I just got off the phone with his staff, Mr. Kiefer, and now we are looking at him coming up here to God's country in the region to make a similar announcement about his plans for health care coverage.
Yeah, he needed to come up there. See, maybe then he'll bring the warm weather. Up there, trust me, you think it's still cold and rainy down here. And they're talking about I just saw something on Twitter where some of the weather forecasters are talking about a frost thing.
Oh, you got to be.
Oh, no, I ain't joking about it. The weather forecasters, they don't joke when they start having that blue in there and it says 30, 36, 37. I said, oh, come on, it's race time. State Representative Charlie Brown, always good to talk to you. Thanks very much for being with us. Glad to have you.
Thank you.
When we come back, you may have questions about HIP 2.0. They gave me all kind of little charts and cute little things, and by this evening, we will post them on our website at praiseindy.com, so you can look at them and read them, download them, tear them up, whatever. But it could put health care coverage to 350,000 more here in Indiana. And it's got, it's got its good, it's got its bad. It's Afternoons with Amos. We'll tell you more after these.